Aloha, Shifters and Light Guardians. Thank you for joining in once again for another Paradigm Shift Circle discussion. Today's topic is, what is death? The Paradigm Shift Circle discussions, we do these live through our Discord server and broadcast to YouTube, and recordings go up on Spotify, Paradigm Shift Radio as well. And we do these every Wednesday at 4 p.m. EDT. We rotate through a variety of topics. I'm joined here, as always, by some fellow amazing conscious creators within the community who you'll get to be able to meet as we go. We'll just start off with some basic guidelines and intentions for the circle, and then we will get right into today's discussion. So thank you again to those of you watching this on any platform. And yeah, with that said, we will start things off. So before we get started, here are a few guidelines and reminders. Paradigm Shift Central Circles are an intentional, sacred digital space created to host inspirational, conscious conversations to nurture our spirit and build community. Circles are sometimes recorded. This one is. At the end of the circle, a screenshot will be taken of those in attendance. Please respect the instructions of the facilitators of the circle. Please respect the intention of the space. Please respect your fellow members. You're welcome to simply listen in or to speak in the circle. To step on stage and speak in the circle, please use the hand raise button and wait to be brought on stage by a facilitator. Once on stage, please wait for the facilitator's prompt to speak. If you are already on stage and wish to speak next, blink your microphone by clicking the mute and unmute button a few times and wait for the facilitator's prompt. Circles generally go up until the top of the hour. We will conclude with gratitude at about 5 minutes to. Please feel free to tell your friends and invite others who may be interested to the broadcast or the Discord server. And if you have not already, please feel free to check out our Patreon membership, where you can join as a member in the community to be able to get additional access to private events and support. Thank you so much for your ongoing contributions and enjoy today's discussion. So with that said, this is a very meaningful conversation to be able to have. And the topic of what is death, it's, you know, with any of these discussions that we have, it's kind of one where it's like, well, what is death to you? You know, what is your personal perspective on death? And so with this one, you know, we're obviously doing it at the time of Halloween-ish, Samhain. And so this month in itself is a very powerful time to be able to reflect on death and to not be able to reflect on death necessarily just in like a somber way, but in a, like a deep reflective way, in a very like metaphysical way, in a very spiritual way. And this is why this time of the year was one that many different cultures, you know, they use it as an opportunity to be able to reconnect with their connection to death within their own practices. And this would mean, you know, like communing with ancestors and spirits and, you know, even just being able to celebrate the natural progressions of the season, because death is something that evidently exists within everything. That's one of the interesting the interesting things about this reality is that nothing is permanent, relatively speaking. Maybe I'm wrong there, but everything changes. And so what is death to me? What is death? Death is transformation. Death is a process. Death is moving from cycles to cycles. And so the question of what is death is one that I'm always excited to be able to go back to, because I think it's one of those ones where like your perception on it will change as you change. So what you thought about death 5 years ago will be different 5 years today. And it will continue to be different because your relationship with it will be different. And ultimately, that's what I think death is. Death is a relationship. It's a relationship that we have with the divine. It's a relationship that we have with this reality. And also the what it means to be a human being, because, you know, there's not a single human on this planet who does not die. Death is the great equalizer, as they often say. And another way, and I'll talk more about this later, and I'll just mention a couple things, and then we'll keep passing it around to the other speakers here in the circle, is that death is like taking off a tight boot. It is a beautiful way that I've heard explained it. And that's something we can talk more about later, about, you know, even for those of us here in the community and those who are listening, those who, you know, and even just reading accounts on those who have had near-death experiences, you hear this account of, you know, like this physical body is just the container and death is the process of like the soul kind of like, it's like moving from like something tight to something expansive. It's like returning, it's the drop returning to the ocean. In some ways, I think is what death is. So it's interesting because when you ask what is death, there's a question of, well, what is death to you? from your limited human perspective, but I feel like, and this isn't for every question that we have here, I feel like the question of what is death, I feel like there's actually like some, and challenge me on this, and I don't know for sure, I'm just hypothesizing, but I feel like there's almost like some sort of like ultimate truth. Like there actually is an answer to what death is. And maybe it's not even an answer that we can actually explain in our limited vocabulary. But again, you know, the process of death is something that it's peering into the great mystery. And when you look into death, you look into the unknown. And it's something that will continue to unfold. It's very much like studying dreams. Death and dreams are actually very similar. You know, like death, dreams are the cousin of death. Is another great quote that I enjoy. And I'll just say this real quick, because, you know, with this discussion for me, synchronistically, and Michelle can talk on this, it's weird, man, because like, and I say weird in the most magical, beautiful way, this discussion of choosing to do the topic on what is death, this was a topic that I landed on for a couple of reasons. One of them was the fact that over the weekend, a good friend of mine, Bill Paul, the town crier of London, who hosted a discussion group much like this called Socrates Cafe, he passed away on the weekend. So death was something that was on my mind and on my heart. However, the extra layer of what makes this just so phenomenal is that choosing to do the topic on this day actually coincidentally, synchronistically, landed on the exact same date of the passing of a friend of mine who passed away 8 years ago, Phoenix. And some of you know Phoenix in the community, Phoenix Roldan Smith. And their connection, not just with me, but with others, is one that we have always talked about, still continuing to progress, in the sense where it's kind of like every now and then you feel the presence of Phoenix, using Phoenix as an example, which is an example that many of us have experienced. What is death, you know, and what is the experience of death from the perspective of spirit? Can spirit still communicate with us? Are they still connected to us? What is their perspective on this reality from where they are? Where are they, quote unquote? And so I just thought it was incredibly beautiful to be able to do this synchronistically on the same day of Phoenix's passing, and literally to not even realize it until just a couple hours before this event, where I'm like, whoa. And in that moment, that was an experience, a direct experience for me, where I became a little bit closer to death. And what I mean by that is that the veil became a little bit thinner. Communication between myself and Phoenix and synchronicity and the clockwork of the universe all just kind of came into a single moment. And I was like, whoa, suddenly, like, you know, like death is, and this is another thing in itself, death is an illusion. Death is a word that we put onto this concept that makes it seem as if things are separating. And yet, are they? And so maybe we'll explore more of that here today. I think this is a very powerful question, and I'm sure we've got a lot of wisdom to be able to share on it. So let's keep things going. I'll jump in a little bit later, but I want to be able to hear from all the other amazing speakers here. We've got CeeLo, we've got Kristen, we've got Campton, we've got Michelle, and we've got Kyle. So whoever would like to go next, please go ahead and blink your microphone. We'll pass it over to Campton in 2 seconds. For those of you on YouTube, drop an 1111 in the chat. Confirm you guys can hear us okay. And for those of you on TikTok or Instagram, feel free to jump over to YouTube. The link is in my profile. So with that said, Campton, we will pass it over to you. And when you're ready, go ahead and share. What is death? What is death to you, Campton? Welcome.
Thanks, Brendan. A lot of cool thoughts surrounding this. So you're right. Death is sort of the end of a sequence. It's a sort of falling away, right? All plant life, all animals, everything on Earth dies in the process, cycles, and we evolve. So evolution is intrinsic to our nature. The dying away of an old self, then we're resisting the intrinsic nature of our consciousness and our ability to survive as a human being. So developing your speech and developing yourself and practicing the organism that you are at the end of the day is the smartest thing that you can do. And it seems to be in all of these religions and all of these mythical traditions, and that the common theme here is, awareness, love, freedom, evolution, self-mastery, personal mastery, you know, having a North Star that you can develop your behavior around, sort of an archetypal illusion that you can psychologically map to. And this involves death. And I love when I get the death card. A lot of people will laugh, you know, oh, yay, it's the death card, you know, right? Like, because it's a deeper concept. There's depth in death, and I'm glad it happens, you know, as as that may sound, I'm glad that there's another chapter, another storybook within the realm of eternity for me to flick through. And everything that I did in this life that I have to live with is gone. And that goes for everybody. Not that I've done anything sinister or evil. Yeah, death is great. And it's especially curious in our reality, and I'll just finish my statement with this. It's a curious notion in our reality. We may be able to transfer our what we call the soul to a robotic consciousness. And I don't think that's too far of a leap. And I think the people who make that leap aren't afraid, and the people who stay behind it, we know them well. We know what they're doing and how they are in the brain. So yeah, I love everybody regardless, but when egos are involved, you know, I have to play the game. And, trying to be too saintly, that's more arrogant than, you know, being a little bit confident. So, I'm here to solve the piece of the puzzle, or that I am the next flower on the tree of life. And glad to be amongst similar flowers. Oh, yeah. The curious notion of robotic consciousness and living forever. So I would still, in that robotic consciousness, create these gaps within eternity, these 95-year shots at a little story within my ability to create anything that I want. So it's that Alan Watts nuance that I find within robotic consciousness and anything that takes us forward in terms of the technological advancement of human beings, which I think is a phenomenal thing to get to witness. And I'm glad I'm here. And you know, taking a little bugs to the face while I'm sticking my head out the window is worth being a human. So, yeah.
Thank you, Campton. We'll do some future discussions all about like cybernetic AI, advanced technology and consciousness and everything like that down the road. We've done that before. Let's keep things rolling around here. And there's so much to be able to talk about within this topic. One thing I'll just plant just as a little seed, and maybe we'll get back to later, is there's a lot within there's some spiritual practices where literally they look at life as preparation for death. And it's interesting because, and Michelle, you know, as much as you feel called to, like this, when I think of that, I think of Ram Dass. And I know Michelle has a connection with Ram Dass. And Ram Dass speaks very eloquently about his experience with death, especially in the later years of his life, where, you see death as like this, it humbles you. And it also, it brings you into the present moment. Like, my goodness, when you're just going about your day and you're not really thinking about when things are going to end, it's very easy to kind of disconnect yourself and to lose focus on where you are. And not a bad thing. You kind of get lost in the dream. You know, it happens to all of us. It's a beautiful part of it, actually. But then death in itself is also it's sobriety. It's just like, oh my goodness, like this isn't going to last forever. Like, what have I been wasting my time on? Bring me into this present moment and really just, you know, like just to absorb the honey of each and every single moment. And I think, you know, death in itself is what makes this life a gift. It's like that quote from the movie Troy where Brad Pitt's character, where he's like, you don't understand, like the gods, they envy us because we are mortal. It is that reason for which they envy us, because there is an end to things. So let's keep things passing around. Who would like to go next? Go ahead and blink your microphone and I'll pass it over to you. And appreciate everybody again being here. And we'll see how long this conversation goes. It may go a little bit extra. So Kristen, did you blink your microphone? If so, feel free to, Kristen, we'll pass it over to you. Kristen, welcome back. And when you're ready, go ahead. What is death, Kristen, to you?
Hello, beautiful, amazing souls, and thank you, Brendan, for holding this gorgeous space. I always love these opportunities to come together and share our heart wisdom. It's always such a blessing to hear the wisdom that really comes from each person, and I think that this is a really brave topic for anyone to be able to really hold space over, because it really is such a there's such a depth to the word death, you know, and you can go in different directions with it if we're speaking, you know, about the physical aspect of, you know, our bodies dying, you know, seeing that as a transformation in life. And I know Campton brought up the death card. And again, I'll correlate that with the word transformation, and seeing that even if we can see the areas of our life where we have experienced death, whether it be a family member or a loved one, you know, those types of experiences tend to help us transform in our day-to-day life as well, giving us that opportunity to see the blessing, the honey, the sweetness in the moments that we have, and also really giving us an opportunity to cherish those individuals or those souls, whichever it applies. And I think too, for me especially, death is a really interesting topic just because I have a really close relationship with it. I walked about 12 years of my life with a diagnosis that said, hey, you know, you could die any moment. And so I was very aware, very conscious of this reality that at any point I could no longer exist here in this physical moment. And so just giving you this viewpoint to see that, yes, you know, everything is a blessing, but it can also be something that if you become focused on, you know, you tend to then lose your grip on reality, or you're in touch with the moment because you may be, you know, more focused on that. And so I think death is something that is truly just one of our greatest teachers. And I first saw this topic, I immediately thought of the movie Soul, the Disney movie that came out recently about, you know, souls passing through into this existence. And it brings me to that very first scene where he, you know, is riding the escalator up to the bright light, and it's like, wait a minute, am I dead? And it's kind of a funny correlation to just be able to see, like, when we pass, do we realize that, you know, we're no longer in these physical bodies, because, you know, we have this consciousness, this soul that exists beyond this physical thing that we are attached to and connect to and that we relate with in this now moment, and realizing that there's so much more beyond that to be able to connect with. And I think, you know, just going into past lives and this is a very beautiful topic, and I'm excited to hear what everyone has to share. And yeah, that's my little bit of wisdom. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you again, Chris. And we'll keep things rolling here. So whoever would like to go next, just go ahead and blink your microphone and we'll pass it over to whoever is ready to speak. And again, at any point when you guys want to jump in, just go ahead and blink your microphone, and any time in between that, and I'll just keep babbling on. So I'll just share a little bit more, and then I'll keep an eye open. So whoever wants to jump in, just go ahead and let me know at any point. So again, you know, it's fascinating. Like death is a fascinating topic, and it's interesting because like death is something that I've kind of been around in my youth and everything like that. My father was actually a funeral director. Not a lot of people know that. And not that like that was like an immediate impact on my life, but even still, just kind of like seeing how it affected him, you know, just being in the presence of helping people, and you know, like I think it's interesting because when you think about death is also something that it has the ability to bring people together. I'm seeing this, I'm witnessing this with you know, with the passing of my friend Bill Paul, and it's bringing together all of these amazing people who were influenced by his presence in this reality. And so, you know, death is something that you look at different cultures, and it's interesting because I think here in the West we have this very kind of like disturbed relationship with death. It's almost like it's like a trauma relationship with death. And not to say that's like wrong, it's understandable, but you look at other cultures and it's like death for them is ceremony, it's celebration. Like when an elder is dying, you know, like that is the word graduation comes to mind. You know, it's kind of like this process where they see it as a celebration of their life. It's an opportunity to be able to reflect and to really be present with them, and then to understand that, you know, like this is something that I've experienced within my own experiences of being with people who have passed, and even with animals, is that, you know, death is an opportunity for it to become a very selfless experience for you. This is an interesting experience for humans. And again, just go ahead and blink your mic for whoever wants to go next. I'm just, okay, Michelle, I'll pass it to you in 2 seconds. You know, with death, this is one thing that's quite interesting, is that oftentimes it brings forth a very, very interesting, and it gives us the opportunity to be able to cultivate a very interesting sense of courage within ourselves. And that was one thing that I noticed even with the passing of my animals, is that like in their passing, like I could hear their voice, and it's like, this is my gift to you for you to be able to experience the depth of your love in a way that hurts so much, because we grieve so much. The only reason we grieve is because we care so much, because we love so much. Grief through death is a reflection of the depth of our love. So it's like in those moments of grief, you are like, it's bringing you closer to godness. It's very psychedelic. But you know, within this, it's also this opportunity to be able to reflect on what is your relationship with death in this moment. No doubt you're holding on to the idea that you don't want this person to leave who you deeply care about, be it a person or an animal. But at the same time, you also have this opportunity to be able to remind yourself, oh yeah, this is about them. This is about their journey. What can I do to be able to help support this? And that was for me with my animals passing and even, you know, grandparents, I approached it where it was very kind of like this shamanic process of like helping them through this transitioning process. And to be there with my pets when they died was nothing short of a psychedelic experience for me. I approached it almost like a plant medicine experience, to be there to hold space in a very kind of quote unquote shamanic way with that transition. And I'd love to even talk about, again, you know, the connections between you know, like DMT releasing in the brain and death and dreams and everything. It's all connected, right? Michelle, I'll pass it over to you. Thank you so much for joining. When you're free, when you're ready, please feel free to unmute your microphone. And Michelle, go right ahead. Welcome.
You touched on a lot just then. That was really, really beautiful. Specifically, something about grief and death, both of those as a doorway to spirit through the heart. And that you said you grieve so much because you love so much. And what I wanted to share that I thought was really my observation in this life about seeing when people transition is that, and from my work with Ram Dass, or my understanding of Ram Dass's work with being a guide for dying people, for souls, is that he talked about, you know, and I'm no expert on the Tibetan Book of the Dead or anything like that, but there's these realms of the astral plane and these levels and these bardos, if you will, that people pass through, and the soul is tested to not get distracted by the 10,000 horrible things or the 10,000 beautiful things, but to really like tread a path so that they can be reincarnated in a beautiful way. And what I've noticed, and I noticed it in an interesting way, of course I noticed it with Phoenix, which we can get into, but I noticed it mostly with David Bowie, which is so strange. When David Bowie died, I felt like this. I felt the same thing with the Nepal earthquake too, that happened in like 2014. I felt like this scattering of life force energy that went throughout, like everywhere. It was like his spirit expanded, like the tight boot metaphor, his spirit expanded beyond and like touched all of the souls that like knew him on a cosmic level. That's how I felt. And I think some people felt that when like Prince passed, but I didn't feel that same kinship. But there was a part of myself that was like, did I know David Bowie, like as a soul, like did I know him? Because it feels like home and it feels like family. It feels like that speed of stardust or that sparkle of light is like everywhere simultaneously all of a sudden now that he's not in a body anymore. And speaking of shamanically, one of my sister girlfriends, a priestess friend of mine, spoke to a past life memory that she had with me in it, of another time where she had passed. And at her funeral ceremony, in this time, I sang a song, and the song was helping her transition to the other side. You know, and it was in like a village type, you know, there was like lots of people around, and that's the shamanic element. And when someone crosses over, recently I had a vision about, you guys actually might know this person, Guru Jagat. Her and John Weiland were in a relationship. And at the time, John Weiland was one of my teachers. And that morning before I heard she passed, I literally had a vision of them together. And then I found that out later, and I was singing. And I imagine that we people here who are in the earth body can hold space for those who are crossing, so that they make their way through the bardos, and that the songs and the energy and the frequency that we carry is like this divine web that helps, like a ship that sails them across. Because death is not the end, but it's a doorway. It's a threshold process in astrology, that wheel that goes around from birth of Aries all the way down through Scorpio is a gateway. It's a doorway that you, once you cross, you can't really return back through. Like, no one can come back from the underworld, you know, in the myths. But then as you go through into Sagittarius and towards Pisces, it's like you, it's like that picture, that woodcut picture where the person's like halfway in the world and then halfway in the stars. That's one of my favorites. I think it's called the Flammarion. So that's what I have to say about death and life and spirit.
Thank you, Michelle. Yeah, I, as much as you feel called to, yeah, I know there's more to share. Even again, you know, just if there was anything that you might want to be able to share, any wisdom that you got from your experience with Ram Dass, and it doesn't have to be right now, but yeah, just opening up any invitation that you feel called to draw upon from that wisdom experience. Let's keep things passing around though. And or if you want to share now, Michelle, that's totally up to you.
We can do either or. I can say one thing that somebody asked me earlier today. It's so interesting the way the universe weaves everything together, because in 2012, right before I met Phoenix, which was a huge year of awakening for all of us, I met Ram Dass for the first time in Maui, and I sat with him. And so I had that memory come up on Facebook. So I shared the memory. A lot of people respond to that because they all recognize who he is and such. And then at the same time in 2014, this like web of 3 days of light where we met and we met Phoenix and the whole shebang began has been coming up a lot too energetically. So it's so trippy, this like weaving of like, it's like Ram Dass is present and Phoenix is present and we're talking, and it's just all these things that are activating, you know, in 2021 now. It's just, it's so interesting. So Ram Dass, so somebody asked me today to share a bit of my experience with, from that picture. And so I wrote something to her and I shared it on a discovery call I had with a client this morning too, which was that when I was in front of him, it was like a gateway opening. It was like, all I did was weep. And I remember being like, you know, on the ego or the human self, I was just like, I'm a mess. All I'm doing is crying. But I was crying for the experience of like the aloneness that I feel, which is separation, right? Which in that Phoenix video that you just shared, it's like the feeling of being isolated, the feeling of being not connected to the infinite, the feeling of being in a human body, it's separation. And that feeling is deeply painful. And Ram Dass is a bhakti yogi. So he talks about the longing through singing, through our spiritual work, to imbue, through mantra, through prayer, through all of that, to re-attune ourselves to the divine. Yeah. And I was in front of Ram Dass and I felt like a beam of his heart just like opening me, because there was so much acceptance of the suffering of the earth and so much like, yes, to my pain, to just, there wasn't like, there was no, there, he just, I don't know. He was just is, you know, there's no like describing that. It's just, there, yeah, I don't know. I don't have words for what that is. And it felt like a beam that opened, that went from his heart to my heart. And then just, again, more tears and more weeping. And it's funny because we started this by saying, like, grief is how much love you have, you know, and we care. But then there's the, like, this true surrender, which is, like, even the pain, even the, there's no response to it. And it's just, yes. Yeah. So I'll leave it there.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Michelle. And thank you for sharing your experience being with Ram Dass. Cause you know, even just that, like I can just hearing you talk about it, that energy is in your words, which is actually quite fascinating. You know, like the experience itself is actually something that carries with you. And I think, again, you know, like for those of us who experience death, not that we ever wish it upon anyone, but it's something that like it you gain experience from it. And with that experience also comes wisdom. And so, you know, I think when it comes to death, if we know that there is wisdom to be acquired from the experience of death through the meditation of death, you know, what can we do as a student to be present with that wisdom, to be present with the idea of being able to understand that even in this moment, you know, you are fully accepted, as Phoenix would say, that like this moment of death is relatively speaking, like equally as holy as any other moment. We have this perception through which we see the world where, again, you know, we look at death as being this horrible thing, and it is a horrible thing as much as it is a beautiful thing. It is literally the full encompassing spectrum of the yin and the yang. And so it's beautiful. It's beautiful to just be able to break the stigma on death, because I think a lot of the suffering within the Western world comes from the lack of discussion that we have around death. And so, you know, you look at different cultures, and again, the way they relate to it completely changes the way they live. So how you meditate on death will change the way that you live your life. And that's why you hear a lot of yogis, they'll talk about that. They'll be like, each day I will meditate on my death. And again, you know, death is, there's many different types of death. And I'll just, again, for anybody who wants to go next, just go ahead and blink your mic. I don't want to take too much time here. I'll just share one more thought at least, and then I'll pass it to whoever wants to go next. And Kyle, we'll pass it over to you in a second. So again, you know, state the obvious, and I'm just kind of putting this out here. There are many different types of death. We die each day, if you think about it from that perspective. And so death is the process of letting go. And so, you know, like, how many times have you died throughout your life? How many old versions of you have had to die in order for new versions to be reborn? And so you see the process of death in the physical body literally is just a fractal of the process of the cycles which happen many, 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 many times throughout our life and throughout this nature and throughout this reality, where, again, you know, the fate of destruction is the joy of rebirth. To quote Neon Genesis Evangelion, for those of you who are anime geeks. But yeah, there's another thing I'll talk about when it comes to death, where I really just want to put an idea on the table in terms of like creating a base image of the journey of the soul. But I'll talk about that a little bit later. Kyle, if you are ready, I'm more than happy to be able to pass it over to you. Kyle, welcome into the circle. When you are ready, go ahead and unmute your microphone and share a little bit from your heart. What is death?
Hi, thanks for having me, everybody. This is a great conversation, and it's a lot of it's triggering tons of different ideas, so it's hard to just put a couple of them together. I do believe death is basically like the ultimate surrender. It also offers me the idea of hope, because I've always thought of, even when I was a child, I was like, death, like, I'm hoping to get as much answers as I need to get. You know, it's when I fall, you die, you end up there, you just get a flood of download of just all the information, so you can like really understand what this life really is. It's kind of like answering the questions that we're all trying to answer, which is the great mystery. I'm really fascinated by the idea of it, for sure. I do believe like it, I have the idea where it's kind of like when we dream at night, you know, I kind of feel like when we're falling asleep, you're surrendering and you're allowing yourself to fall into that realm. And it'd kind of be the similar idea. Cause my girlfriend's, grandpa basically might have not had done the best things in his life. So he is clinging on to life because he's terrified of death, and he's terrified to let go because he's afraid of what's going to come. But the way I see things, so you can see how there is some people who they'll cling to life because they're afraid to see what's on the other side, where there's some people who can pass through pretty seamlessly because they understand that there's more to this world. There's, you know, they're kind of, they're on, you know, the idea of light, and that we're an ever living soul. Like, there is people who want to live forever here, but I kind of already think we already live forever. We already have that. We've already hit that goal. And I feel like if you were in one place for too long, you would kind of get bored of it, or you'd kind of feel like that there wouldn't be as much purpose. Like if you don't have an end date, I'm a procrastinator. So if I don't have some, I'll wait right to the last day to be able to do something. And that energy it gives me to finish that task is because I have an end time to be able to finish it. And if I didn't, I'd probably let that task move a little further and further. Another thing I want to touch on is I'm really interested in the science of dying before dying, which I'm sure we're all into the psychedelics. And basically, I believe that's how we're able to die before dying and go into the spirit world with a living soul, with an earth soul or however it works. And we're able to bring back some information to hear that maybe allows our life to be a little bit more freeing, like the people who have studied yoga for so long and basically have come to that conclusion where we're an infinite being. So if you're an infinite being, you really have all the time in the world and you could basically work on everything instead of just being worried about material things and all that. And yeah, I mean, there's so much to touch on though, but I honestly believe it's definitely a freeing thing. It's definitely one of the ultimate psychedelics. I'd like to touch on more, but there's so many ideas coming from everybody that's just triggering. So I'm just going to leave it at that for now. And I appreciate for allowing me to talk.
Thank you. Thank you, Kyle. And happy to be able to have you here as well. So I'll just, again, whoever wants to be able to go next, just go ahead and blink your mic if you guys are ready. Cee-Lo, we'll pass it over to you right now, and then I'll share a little bit after that, and then whoever else wants to go after that. So Cee-Lo, when you're ready, go right ahead.
Awesome. I appreciate the space for this. death is a very interesting thing for humanity, because for a lot of us, it is unknown. It's like a mystery. There's these concepts and belief patterns that I have about what death is going to be like. But it's kind of like, you know, you're going up this roller coaster. You don't know what's going to happen. And then you're just in it. And hopefully you're, you know, in a space where you're able to grow from it. You know, sometimes I will admit I do try to kill a fruit fly, but when I do it, I try to, like, I hope whatever this consciousness is, whatever the soul is, like, gets to reincarnate as something better, or gets to have like a more expanded perception of existence. And so that's what I hope that death will be like. You know, there's this one time that I had with my grandpa where he passed away, and he was my favorite. So it was very sad for me. And like a few weeks after he passed away, I had a dream, and he was in it. And in the dream, I saw him as like a young man, like the same age I was. And then I watched him kind of like grow into an old man. And then he like told me he loved me and all these things. And it was just such a beautiful experience. You know, life and death, they're all part of our experience. And I hope that they help us to grow in some way. I think that life is a lot about just experiencing and allowing source to be omnipotent, to experience all possible experiences, and to have the ability to enjoy life on the physical and go through that process. And like Kristen said, transition into the next part of life. I recently have been watching a little bit of the Marvel stuff, and in the Black Panther, when they pass away and the next generation takes over, like their spirit goes to this beautiful tree, like this spirit tree, and they're all like panthers hanging out in a tree together. And you know, in different cultures, there's these different beliefs of what's going to happen when we pass away. And part of me believes that it's a part of where we're at when we pass, and it's a part of our, you know, our belief systems, or it's part of what we're, what's going to help us the most. I would like to, you know, get to meet a lot of the souls when I pass that I've had just like a lot of growth with, so that I can, you know, speak to them again. And I have all these ideas that I hope it will be like, but again, I think the mystery is kind of part of the fun. And yeah, thank you for opening the space. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you again, CeeLo, for joining in. And yeah, I'll share in a moment, but Ren, I know you joined on stage. If you want to share next, just blink your microphone, or if you want, I can just kind of share. Okay, we'll pass it to you. And then anybody else who's also in the audience, if you want to come up at any point, please feel free to raise your hand. We'll keep today's going a little bit longer. If anybody has to jump out early, feel free to jump in and just let us know. I do know that there's definitely more for us to be able to talk about here, so I'm not in a rush to wrap it up. So maybe another half hour. So Ren, with that said, welcome to today's circle. And when you're ready, please feel free to share. Go ahead, Ren.
Hi, can you guys hear me, first of all? Okay, cool. Sorry, because I'm on my headphones. I never use them. So yeah, thank you for letting me join in this space. It's a conversation that's a little difficult for me, because I guess that you could say I have attachment issues to the earth plane. I was experienced, first of all, thank you everyone who spoke, because this is just an important topic to talk about. And a lot of people don't want to talk about it because it's triggering. But it's important that we talk about tough things. I was exposed, I would say, to death at a really young age. I guess I was about 7, 8 years old. And it was around actually at the same time that my parents were going through a divorce, or just started the process. And my grandparents came over. They usually lived upstate, so it was like a 4 or 5 hour drive. And they came to visit us, and they were like, hey, we want to see you guys before we go to California to visit your sister, which was my mom's sister. And something in me at just such a young age, I knew that one of my grandparents was going to die. I don't know how, it was just something that like hit me as a kid. And I was like, why am I feeling this way? Why am I thinking this is going to happen? And they slept over that night, and then they went to California. Within like 3-4 days, my dad got a phone call, and it was that my grandpa had passed. And I remember going upstairs at that moment and just crying hysterically, and seeing that he actually accidentally left one of his t-shirts behind. And I just remember crying into his t-shirt and like wondering, like, why did I know this? And I felt guilty for years. Like, I eventually told my grandma about it years after, and she was just like, everyone started blaming my grandma. They're like, why didn't you listen to Lauren when she was telling you guys don't go? Because I was telling them, I was like, please don't go, please don't go. And they went anyway. And my grandma was like, I can't hear this, I can't talk about this. And you know, like when you're a kid and you go through something like that, you're like, you feel guilty. I like literally for years held inside me that I killed my grandfather, you know, like I was a part of that, I knew, and that just that guilt sitting with me. And it's something that I've had to like talk to therapists about. I've had to work through myself and be like, that wasn't my fault, you know, like who is going to listen to a little kid and like think that she was right, you know? And so ever since then, I've been really trying to understand death and read about it and understand like what happens after death. And I think I've just come to the conclusion in my past recent like years since my spiritual awakening that death is just another, like in a video game, it's like another level, like up, you know, it's you're not really gone. I believe in reincarnation. I truly do. I really think that why so many people are afraid of death is because like the Roman Catholic Church like really started by like ingraining that and programming it into people's brains that, oh, when you die, like you either go to heaven or hell. So make good choices on this planet and it will like dictate where you go. And that's just not true to me. I don't believe that there's like necessarily a hell. I believe that it's more so like everyone passes and goes through their mini purgatory until they can like learn the lessons like from their life that they were still clinging on to in order to pass on to the next level. Like everything's like another level up. It's like another experience point, I guess, in a video game type of thing. But that's just how I view it. I think it's just the more if we can look at it as like, this is just another beginning for me. Like I will be back like in another soul body. Like it's something that people don't have to be that afraid of. And that's how I've been looking at it as like, I'm like, you know, like when I pass on this physical plane, I know in my heart that when I come back, I will find the people in other bodies that are my soul tribe. You know, I will find like my family, and they maybe they'll come across as someone different and they won't be my family, you know, but I believe in that. And I believe that, you know, that's kind of like a hope thing for people to look for, is that we never really die. Our souls never die. Our physical vessels do, in order for us to move on to another physical vessel, but our souls never die. It always lives on, you know. Energy cannot be destroyed nor created. And that's how I've been trying to look at death more. And it's just been, you know, it's been making me feel better. And just one last thing, sorry. When I got into a really bad car accident, and that's actually how my grandpa passed. They were in the car in California, and their car flipped over, and that's how he passed. I was in a really, really bad car accident where I actually almost died about 2 years ago now. And I remember in that moment, as I was like swirling and spinning around in the road, I just literally remembered thinking, I was like, I'm not ready to go yet. And not more so that I was ready to go for me, but thinking about how it would impact others. And I was like, I can't do this to my dad. I can't do this to my brothers. I can't do this to my boyfriend. I don't want their lives to be ruined. I'm too young. And as soon as I started to like think that, like I just like hit the lamp pole and like hit the highway sign, and I like kind of just woke up. And I at first was like, am I alive? Am I dead? Like, where am I? And I just remember like seeing like, wait, I'm still here without like a scratch on my body, just like my car completely totaled. And I believe that was my grandpa, you know, and he was like, I don't want you to go the same way I did. And so when we put like our faith in the universe, even in times of like complete peril, I think that, you know, that's when we surrender, like someone else said. And we're like, you know, if this is my time, okay, but I know I have more stuff to do. And so just having trust and faith in the universe that things are going to work out, things are going to be okay. And again, like I said, knowing that you're always going to come back here, no matter what, your soul is eternal and it lives on. So thank you guys. Thank you to everyone who spoke. I know I had a lot to say on that, but yeah, thanks.
Thank you. Thank you again, Ren. And yeah, this is one of those conversations that, like, I mean, if we were to have this as just for like as long as it needed to be, that would be fine. You know, if anything, just have like this like revolving door for this discussion, because I think there's no shortage for us to be able to talk about here. But we'll keep things going. Like I said, for at least another half hour, I think will be enough. But then, you know, for everybody here, as always with these circles, we encourage you to continue these conversations within your own spaces, within your own friends, maybe even make content about this. This is, again, not just because it's Halloween, but again, this is Samhain. This is a month where the theme of death is very relevant. And if anything, it makes it more accessible to be able to talk about. So there's just a couple things that I just want to be able to share. And as I'm doing this, for anybody who would like to go after me, just go ahead and blink your microphone next so we can just figure out the cue. So pass over to Kristen after this. So allow me to just put a couple ideas on the table, and there's a couple ideas which are actually like kind of like really trippy. So this is for me, what I'm going to put on the table is like my best guess at what death is, on my understanding of death, from my perspective, from my experience, from my research, whatever you want to call it. So kind of similar to what Lauren was actually saying, if I were to try and explain this to someone like someone who just, you know, like a tabula rasa, someone who didn't know anything, if I was trying to explain it simply to them, how would I explain it? So in order to explain death, I think we have to explain the workings of the journey of the human soul. And so the way how I would explain it is basically this idea that, you know, what Earth is like, it's like a space. It's like you can imagine it like a sphere, like a dome, like an orb or something like that. But nonetheless, it's something that you go into and you can come out of. It's like a dimension. It's actually a space. It's not just a planet in the simplest way that we think about it, because the way how this reality works, there's like multiple dimensions. Space doesn't just go, you know, like outwards through the X, Y, and Z axis. Like it goes, it traverses through dimensions. And so the journey of the soul is basically this journey that, you know, as a soul, we already exist through a state of what can be considered to be, you know, like being alive, like you're still alive in these other dimensions. However, in these dimensions, they're very much like the dream space, unless you're like on another, in another realm, in another dimension, which in which case the densities could be different. It's almost like each planet is its own dimension that you can kind of like be born into and come out of, so to speak. So before you are born, you are literally still alive. You are that soul. You're kind of like in this etheric plane. And within this plane, you also have the ability to be able to like view things from outside the perception of what we consider to be linear time. Because again, the time construct is relative to each dimension, each planet, so to speak. And so the journey of the soul, I'll just explain this real quick. I don't want to get too convoluted. The journey of the soul is to, again, you know, like incarnate, to come into this earth through the physical body, through the vessel of the human body. And then again, you know, to go through these lessons, to experience, to learn as much as they can. And then thus in the process of dying, it is literally the process of returning to where we came from. It's like exiting out of the matrix. And with it, we bring with us like the experience and the wisdom of our soul, like back into the oversoul, back into like the collective consciousness. So it's basically this very powerful idea that, you know, like as kind of like a psychedelic experience, like you go into the psychedelic experience, kind of like a fisherman, which is what Terence McKenna talks about, where it's like, you know, like try to bring something back with you. So in this experience of Earth, you know, Earth is like the experience of coming into this Earth and being alive is one giant psychedelic experience, so to speak. And then, you know, what do you bring with it out of you by the time you're done? And so even though individually, you know, we're all our unique fractals of consciousness, we are just that. We are fractals of a bigger consciousness, branches of a bigger tree. So, you know, when we go through this process of death, since the illusion of separation is something that's more obvious within the dimensions of a planet such as Earth, it's easier for us to forget into this idea that we are actually branches of the same tree. However, when we go up this one level, it's quite obvious that we are connected to everything. Like it's not just an idea, it's an experience. It's a direct experience. It is felt. It is oftentimes ineffable. It's hard to put into words. And this is where you get the experience of people who have near-death experiences. Kind of like I said, it's like taking off a tight boot. It's that expansion. So for those that have died, and even for those that have died and have yet to be born again, you know, from this dimension that they are on, from this quote-unquote like higher plane, so to speak, again, they still have the opportunity to still be able to interact with this plane. And they interact to us through multiple means, through synchronicities, through omens, through dream time, through meditation, because the consciousness that they are is still accessible through a frequency. And that frequency is something that we can tune into through meditation. And so this is where, again, you know, like death is not the end. Death is not just death. Death is a change, you know, it's a change in relationship. But if there's someone that you know that has passed, it's also an invitation for you to be able to change the way that they relate, how you relate to them. And I remember this, and I'll just share this real quick, and I'll pass it over to Kristen, and hopefully what I said is somewhat of a painting a picture, you know, for those of us trying to grasp what death is. And for a lot of us, you know, might not even been stating anything new. But I remember even for my grandfather, when my grandfather passed away, he was, you know, he was in his bed and not very mobile. And then when he passed away, I was like, oh, like, you know, like he can actually do more for me in spirit form, like in, you know, like beyond the physical body than he could from the constrictions of his bed. And so, you know, when we are open to this, for those that have passed on, be they family members or even, you know, like archetypes and historical figures, so to speak, you have the opportunity to be able to invite in a relationship with these beings. And this is where, again, you know, even through my own work, I've experienced this many times where I've worked on projects that have been related to people who have passed on. And the way that like I like feel their presence through the work that I do, it will like show up in the editing. It will show up through choices that I'm very much just making intuitively. So they're kind of like, again, you know, they become become like our guardians and watchers and guides, so to speak, but they're still with us. They're still a part of the team. We just happen to be the ones on the ice. They're just like, you know, they're in the stands now, so to speak, using like a hockey metaphor, as I always do. But anyways, there's one more thing I wanted to talk about, but I'll save it for later. And that's like the actual moment of like the experience of death, which again, you know, is this very kind of like, again, it's psychedelic is the best way I can describe it. But let's keep things passing around and you know, even hearing from some of the people here. Kristen, I know you were talking about your relationship with death and everything like that. And I know there are multiple people in the community that have had like NDEs and everything. So those stories, when I was younger, I was always fascinated with like NDEs. Cause I'm like, dude, like this is evidence. Like, let's piece together this puzzle. And over time, you know, death will always continue to be something mysterious, but I think even that within that mystery, there's still the opportunity to be able to develop a relationship where suddenly it doesn't become as scary. And that for me has been the thing that has changed over the years. Whereas, you know, for me, I'm not scared of death quite in the same way. It is, this is the other thing I'll share it later. There's one more crazy trippy idea that I'm going to share, but I'll get into that later. But anyways, let's keep things moving along. Jessica, I know you just joined in on stage. Kristen, I know you wanted to go next, but Jessica and Kristen, I'll let you decide if one of you wants to go first or if Jessica, if you want to go next, that's totally cool. So if you guys just want to maybe unmute and decide who wants to go next, go ahead and do that now and just let us know.
Kristen, I'm happy to let you go first, or if are you okay with me speaking?
I'm pleasantly pleased with this conversation either way. Jessica, so you go for it. You just joined in. I'm happy and excited to hear your share.
I just, hearing Brendan speak, you know, in particular, I know with the recent loss and the idea of community, it just sparked this thought around death. There's been so much wonderful input here that there's not so much for me to add, but just the idea that we come here and we are having these experiences and that reflection that everyone is experiencing us in a different way. And so as Brendan talked about, you know, when you have the passing of someone and the community comes together, they each bring that different piece of that person that was reflected onto them. And then they're bringing that back to create this whole idea, this whole concept, and this whole experience of a soul, and celebrating that as it moves to a different plane, to a different realm. And I really resonated with that, and I thought that was really beautiful. So that's my quick piece for today. Thank you
Jessica, happy to be able to have you here. Kristen, if you'd like to go next, and then whoever wants to go next after Kristen, just go ahead and blink your microphone now, and we will cue you up and pass it over to whoever wants to go next. And for everybody here, we'll make sure you guys get a chance to even just do like one final closing thought as we get close to the end. And then we'll get wrapped up shortly after that. So Kyle, we'll pass it to you after Kristen. Kristen, when you're ready, go right ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I just wanted to give the opportunity to share, as Brendan had mentioned, I have had a near-death experience during a heart surgery that I had, and it was something that absolutely changed my life. I would not be sitting here in this circle discussion today had I not been through that. So just to kind of be able to offer any clarity for anyone, at least in my personal experience with it, it was something that I remember feeling being in my body before the near-death experience happened, and then of course afterwards kind of feeling like separated from my body. And I actually was in a position where I was able to kind of view the room that I was in, and I remember seeing all the doctors around my body and being kind of at this third level perspective is what I like to call it, almost as if like I was viewing the scene as it was happening. And I remember being like feeling lifted and being pulled away and off into a different space that I can only describe as being very light, and connecting with a few of my own guides. I saw my grandfather who had passed away, and Jesus was there, and there was a few other just kind of key people who had been spirit guides in my life up to that point. And you know, it was in that moment that I remember having this feeling come over me that was like, you know, wait, no, I'm not supposed to be here. Like, there's somewhere else I need to be, but I didn't feel that connection with my body. I felt very, like I said, it's just a whole different, it's a whole different space of existence that I was kind of in between, an in-between place. And I remember feeling this call, like being asked, you know, am I ready to go or do I want to go back? And I felt this pull, this call to come back to my body. And in that moment, whenever I made that decision, I felt this yank down back into my body. And of course, that was whenever I breathed and, you know, they had pumped my heart to get it to beat again. And it was very aggressive. But I remember being in that space of just nothing, expanse, and not feeling any kind of connection or ties to the physical world other than just this this pulse inside of me. And I think that for me, it gave me this really beautiful experience to be able to see that, like, I do have a purpose for being here, or else my consciousness could have very easily just moved on to the next you know, part of my existence, the next ripple within the waves of consciousness. And I think it's something that I know personally I am grateful for on many levels, the experience of being able to continue breathing and being here and existing and experiencing that, but then also understanding that that connection to the after. And I think too, just recognizing the time that we are in right now and understanding this beautiful opportunity that we have to honor our ancestors and honor those who have been before us. And, you know, in whatever way, you know, works for you, whatever way reflects in your life, but just understanding that death is part of the natural process of life, and that, you know, those that have lived the existence before you, whether you want to consider them past lives of past versions of yourself, or, you know, those that have walked before you, and understanding that you're in this now moment with the wisdom that you hold and the physical spaces that you are set in because of the actions and the intentions that those that have gone before you have placed. And so, you know, I always try to utilize this beautiful month and the amazing energy to just be able to really honor those and send whatever kind of blessings we can in that way, and to respect that process. And then the final thing I wanted to mention on death is also just understanding that everyone has their own relationship with it. And, you know, whenever we experience death in our life, you know, whether it's someone very personal and close to us or someone that's, you know, we love experiencing death, you know, being able to see how we can hold space for one another. And also just in that understanding that, you know, some people may feel that sadness. Maybe they're going to cry. Some people may feel anger. You know, my aunt, she laughs. You know, it's like everyone has their own expression. And I think just seeing that as humans, you know, we are all going to work through those emotions that are related to that connection that we have with our physical body and with one another. And I think too, you know, just honoring the process of death and how it interacts in our life. And yeah, that's it. That's my share. Thank you all so much.
Thank you. Thank you again, Kristen. I'll just share here real quick and then I'll pass over to Kyle just while the thoughts fresh on my mind. So there's one idea, and this came to me like many, many years and years ago within my ponderings and such. And I'm curious if you guys here like resonate with it. But, you know, it's basically this idea that, you know, like there's like multiple kind of like parallel realities. There's this idea that, you know, at some point, the human experience, the journey of the soul, can actually be through the process where the soul will literally go through the process of dying or even a near-death experience. And kind of like what Kristen was saying, have this experience where it is given the choice to be able to say, like, do you want to go or do you want to go back? And then if it goes back, this is where it's a little bit different. This is a little bit trippier. It can actually go back like a moment before whatever happened that might have like caused like some sort of like sudden death, so to speak. So like a crazy example of this, and this is just the example that came to me when I was younger as I was pondering this, would be like the example of like say like a soldier at war, and then like a soldier like gets like shot and killed and boom, just like that. And then they kind of like go through this near-death experience and they're just like, wait, like I don't want to die yet. And then suddenly, you know, they like come back into, they go through a whole experience, they meet God and stuff, then they come back into an incarnation, and then it's like they come back, but it's like 2 seconds before that bullet might have hit them, and then this time it just grazes them, and then by the grace of the universe, the grace of God or whatever, they've managed to get through it safely. And if you were to think about this, this almost kind of in some way explains how some people manage to make it through unquestionably fathomable processes, where it's like, how did they make it out of that safely? Like, that seems like against the odds. And Ren, even in your story, you know, like, it's and not to, you know, I don't want to put an idea out there that's a little bit overwhelming, because it can be, but it just kind of makes you ponder, where it's like wait a second, you know, like, was there something going on here with time, where like in the process of death you're like outside of it, and then it kind of brings you back, and then that explains like why you kind of like made it through something without a scratch on you and stuff like that. The last thing I will just say, and I'll pass over to Kyle, is that it's very fascinating to hear about the idea that death within this realm, you're entering into this realm where, much like a dream, it's a hologram of you. It's a hologram of your heart. It's a hologram of your reflections. And so within this is this idea that, you know, people argue about, well, what's on the other side of death? You know, like, whose God is it? Is it the Hindus? Is it the Catholics? You know, is it Islam? Like, who is it, right? One of the ideas is that it's actually whatever you believe in. It literally, like, you will meet your own version of heaven, so to speak, which I think is an incredible kind of like image to be able to just like open yourself up to. So this is where you start getting into the Tibetan Book of the Dead. And one of the ideas that they actually talk about, which is so important, and I don't want to get too deep into it here, whereas to be able to die consciously. Imagine being able to die where you don't just suddenly just kind of like go black and then it's just like you're dead, but to be able to kind of transition into death where your consciousness remains present throughout the experience, and it's basically like entering into a lucid dream, and then you just kind of continue along, so to speak. And this is where, you know, they talk about this in the Tibetan Book of the Dead, where they talk about this idea that within death, some of them even talk about the idea of like not going into the white light. Like what happens when you don't go into the white light? And then it's actually almost like this like another route that the soul can take, and the white light is actually almost kind of like what, like, quote unquote, recycles the soul. And you see that in the movie Soul, that Pixar movie, which is kind of trippy. But yeah, like, what happens if you were to die fully consciously, and then to be able to kind of like move into a kind of like a lucid dream, to almost like meditate your way into death? And there have been monks that have done this. They've literally like meditated into the stage of death. This has been documented and stuff like that. So again, the death is quite fascinating. So much more to talk about. Let's keep things going for a little bit longer. I'm not in a rush, but we'll make sure we're not going too long. So Kyle, I'll pass over to you. Michelle, if you want to jump in with something shortly after, please feel free. Ren, I know you jumped up on stage. Ren, did you want to even be able to just share real quick before passing it over to Kyle? If it was, because I mean, I did refer to you, so if you wanted to be able to reply to anything, just go ahead and unmute your microphone now. And then Kyle, if that's okay, we can pass it over to you, or whatever works for you. Which would you prefer, Ren?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm not going to be long at all.
Okay, go for it.
I just weird that you said that. You're not putting ideas into my head, so it's not like you were like, oh my God, Brendan gave me this new insight. Like, no, it's weird that you said that, because while that was happening and I just was like spinning, like on the highway, after I thought that, there was just a point where I did black out. Like, and that's why I was like, when I kind of opened my eyes, I was like looking around me like, am I dead? Is this like death? You know, I don't know if you ever seen, I don't know, that movie where that girl passes away in the car with her parents, and then she's the only one, she's like dead or like in between. But that's what it was like. It was, I blacked out and I was like, did I go somewhere? Did like my higher self pull me out of my body and like kind of replace me with like the version that like survives? And it's just weird to think about. I'll never understand what happened that day. But all I know is that like, people that looked at the car, the ambulance, they were like, how the fuck are you here? Like, they literally were like, they were staring at me like they couldn't, like I was a ghost. And so like, it definitely is possible. Like, the possibilities with the universe is like endless, you know? So I'll always think about that moment. But all I'll say is that ever since that day, I've been like, I've never said anything negative. And before that accident, I was saying negative things. I was like, who cares if I die? Like, I was just saying depressive shit. And since then, I've never said anything like that again. I've been grateful every single day waking up just to wake up. So it does change your perspective a lot. So thanks.
Thank you. Thank you again, Ren, for sharing. And yeah, it's fascinating just being able to hear from someone who's had that experience as well. So living the mystery. Kyle, if you would like to go next, go ahead. And then Michelle, if you want to go after that, we'll pass it over to you. And then we'll just go around one more time with any closing thoughts. So Kyle, if you'd like to share, go right ahead, bud.
Hi, hey, you brought up like the idea for like don't know, you triggered something in my brain. So basically, it's I kind of think now that we're in the realm. It's like we put the quarter in the video game machine so we can come into this life to experience life. But it's such a good immersion that you actually forget that you actually put the quarter in the machine to come here. So then eventually you build up a fear of letting go and leaving the experience because it is a great experience to be here. But I also want to touch on, like, I had a buddy who explained he died and he met his version of God, and God basically pulled the veil back for him and showed him what time is and a lot of things. And he's a coder. So he really explained it to me. He goes, he believes like the earth is kind of like some sort of antivirus program where we're basically coming here. There is some evil. There's a lot of bad things that kind of run our society. But it's like if you resist those temptations, so to say, and these bad things, and you end up following the light, he goes, basically, you're able to ascend, or you're able to, you're like this program. So it's like weeding out the bad. So basically, the idea of like Christians, where we go back to God's kingdom when we die, like the whole idea is, you know, he's weeded out the bad weeds. And the whole and the idea, like, I feel like fear kind of has to come with death, because there's a lot of studies showing that when you have immense fear and immense stress, it's when your DMT starts to release out in your brain. So I feel like without that, like, I mean, I do believe there's also other ways, like that I feel like the fear and stress is like the natural process, and then the more meditative process where these monks and Buddhist people are doing, or others in life, you've basically worked your spirit, and you've kind of leveled up to get to that level where you can actually pass through without having the immense stress and fear. Just like even psychedelics, if I do my Wim Hof breathing and I get really calm before I do a heavy, like a big mushroom trip, I like seamlessly went into that realm instead of have the experience where some people say they think they're dying. I also want to touch on, there's a guy named Kalindi E, because you were saying when people die, if you're around them, you can connect with their consciousness. So this guy on the internet I was following for a while, Kalindi E on YouTube, amazing mystery explained. Like, this guy who's been researching the mysteries, you can tell, his entire life. He recently ascended, I believe. And he came to me in dreams, passing me on his mushroom. And I was like, oh, is this just a creation of my brain? Because I am always watching his videos. But then I started seeing comments of other people who were obsessed with paying attention to his knowledge. They were also having that same experience in a dream where he comes and he comes to you and gives you the blue mushroom. And I remember asking myself, or asking him, and being like, hey, is this real? Like, did you actually pass me the mushrooms? And then, boom, I get a really big chill down my spine. And he really explained a lot about, I believe reincarnation is where you didn't meet your mission and you get put back here. And you have to learn again and see where ascension is, where you're basically going through those Bardo Todos kind of things and you're ascending through it, or you're ascending to the next level. And on the end of that, basically on... I want to talk about that one book, The Immortality Key. And that book basically is focused on the ancient religions that were basically practicing the science of dying before dying by drinking very strong, potent psychedelic drinks to bring them into that underworld. And it really explains basically the same tip we're all on right now. We're all trying to find this, and this inner world experiences have been being suppressed forever. And we're the ones being rebels, in a sense, bringing this back, bringing these discussions. Because the whole idea of talking about death and ascension and is the realm before we're born the real one, then you come here. And that was being pushed so you can never talk about stuff like this. It was always like, you know, in religion, it was shown as being a bad thing. Well, it's definitely part of the good side of life to understand the mystery and what life is. And really appreciative that everyone's here to talk about all this, and all these great ideas are just triggering really good thoughts in my brain. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you again, Kyle. Kyle, can you send me a link for the YouTuber you were mentioning? And can you just mention the YouTuber again one more time, the one that you were referring to?
Yeah, for sure. His name is Kalindi E, and I'll write it on the comments on YouTube. And there's a big one of the YouTube channels he was a part of was I'm blanking right now.
No worries.
I can't remember right now, but it's Kalindi E, and as soon as you write Kalindi on YouTube, all his drop downs usually come up right away because it's very amazing and fascinating stuff. But yeah, I'll leave it in the comments on YouTube and Instagram.
Thanks, dude. How do you spell that? Just real quick, just so the first few letters, if you don't mind. I know you're gonna send it anyways, but just for those of you who are on the fly.
K-I-L-I-N-D-Y, and E is like I-Y-E. I might be spelling that wrong because I was trying to pull up my phone there, but this guy, honestly, to me, was a master, like, for sure.
Awesome, dude. Wonderful, wonderful. And man, like, thank you again for sharing. And there's something, what was I going to say? Just real quick. And Michelle, if you want to go next, I'll pass over to you. And then we'll just go around one more time with closing thoughts. Yeah, it's interesting because we talk a lot about reincarnation. And yeah, you know, I love the idea that, again, like, this planet is just like one school of many, one realm of many. So it's interesting when you hear some people and they talk about like life number nine, like a life path of number nine, and they say like, oh, if you're a life path number nine, that means this is your last incarnation on Earth. And I remember for a while I got like kind of like tripped out about that, especially since I know some people who have a life path number nine and be like, what do you mean, like, you're leaving? And then it's like, well, it's not like I'm like gone forever. It's just like, maybe that just means that, you know, after this I'm going to another school, aka another realm, another planet, so to speak. So that was just one thing to kind of like think about. But yeah, no, death is it sounds kind of weird saying it, but I love talking about death. I'm not afraid to talk about death. It's actually something that I'm very grateful to be able to hold space for. And I think the more that each of us can do this within our own hearts and within the community, you know, the more it will continue to serve us as a collective. So Michelle, if you would like to go next, please feel free. And I know we were talking about Phoenix a little bit earlier on, so anything else you would like to share, and then we'll get close to wrapping it up. Go ahead, Michelle.
Yeah, this is kind of closing thoughts for me because I have to hop off in a bit, but I wanted to talk about, oh, that's my cat. I wanted to talk about Samhain, and what you just said also is quite interesting, because I'm doing the Witch Wound program, and I want to weave it all in to the Wheel of the Year and the closings and the death that happen. Like, it's like literally ingrained in the system, you know, of death being a cycle because it's seasonal. And in the Wheel of the Year, something that I figured out because I'm doing this program, I'm like learning more about Samhain itself. And I've been in this skull, you'll like this, because it's like this druidic transmission lately. I started watching the show Outlander, which is like in Scotland and everything. But then the what was happening to me on the other inner planes from being in that transmission of like 18th century was like these codes of like druidism and pagan, and I was like, oh my god, this is in support of the program that I'm running, because it's like the Wheel of the Year and Samhain, and like when we are at this particular time of the year, you know, the festival is to, like Kristen mentioned, like communicate with the ancestors. And I love how she spoke, you spoke like so naturally about it, you know. It was like a very, I could hear a frequency of this like naturalness, like, oh, I honor the ancestors at this time of the year. And that is like the embodied druidic, like, knowing is that this is the time of the year after where the Wheel of the Year turns. That's what they call it. And that's the thing that I learned, and I didn't know that. So the festival of the autumn equinox happens. And then there's I think it's the new moon after Samhain marks the closing of the Wheel of the Year. And then the rebirth or resurrection is the winter solstice, which I think why there's that whole talk about, like, you know, was Jesus born at Christmas or et cetera. But it's like that starts a new chapter, that new phase of the Wheel of the Year. Yeah, this time is definitely, and both my grandmother and Phoenix both are in October. So the two beings in my life personally that, and you know what else is really interesting? October is the most the month where people get married the most. It's also the sign of Libra. When it's at the end of the month, it crosses into Scorpio. But like death and marriage, like Libra and Scorpio, they're like hand in hand together on the wheel. So I think it's really important for us to be present to not only what happens in our life on like the physical level, but like the multi-dimensional symbolic, that is the true real for me. And I know that sometimes people call me out on like living there too much, you know, but I feel like that's what the spiritual life really is. It's like when you're seeing beyond the veil of what is happening into like this deeper meaning of what is here. And I think that's so important. So those are my closing thoughts. And I just want to like plug the Witch Wound. I'm doing a five night festival. It might be a festival. That would be wonderful, but it's a ritual gathering. And then I'm offering a one-on-one session because I really want whoever comes to anchor the energy. And it's for women identified being only who have the Witch Wound. And for those of you who are interested, go to my Instagram, Michelle Infinity, and check it out and read like my latest post and feel into that or message me and let me know. But the Witch Wound has to do with what Kyle mentioned, which is like death was like used as a tool. This is, I'm not going to soapbox for long, but give me just a moment to say this. Like a lot of the separation of the patriarchal conditioning that we've had on this earth, on this planet, has been to take our power away from the mystic, from everything that we've been talking about, is the wheel of the year, the energy of what is just under the surface for all of us and for all of us to be in communion with it. But then through the perversion of the religion that we call Christianity and men wanting power and hierarchical, not just men like masculine, but just like men, souls wanting power, you know, who incarnated as men, wanting to take that power and say, if you don't play by the rules, then you're going to burn in hell or we're going to kill you and here's your execution. And it's just been this real manipulation of the dark energy. That the dark energy, you know, not in our culture as bad or negative, but as a magical force, then when wielded with respect, is where power really truly comes from. And so I'm doing this program and my whole life and my work is like this reclaiming of this divine feminine, the dark feminine, and having the power and the courage to speak it and bring that out into our culture so that it's not demonized. And so that we are all, you know, integrating our shadow, that we're all comfortable with talking about death and that we're not buying into the conditioning of what has been fed to us to keep us small and safe and playing by rules that were created to out of control. So anyway, if all of that appeals to you, connect with me on Instagram. I know that's a lot, but it's also beautiful, you know, and it's my work. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Michelle. And thank you for your work. And for anybody here, I would invite everybody to connect with Michelle, whether or not you're interested in that immediate program or otherwise. Michelle's been a good friend of ours in the community. And again, you can find Michelle at Michelle Infinity on Instagram. And for any of the creators that we've heard on air here today, their links will be in the YouTube show notes. So if you're on Spotify, jump over to YouTube, jump into the show notes, click those links, follow them on Instagram, and even send them a DM if you're interested in something they talk about. And a lot of awesome people here in the community. So we'll get close to wrapping it up, and we'll just go around one more time with some closing thoughts. And then I'll add some closing thoughts on the end of that as well. So whoever would like to go next, please feel free to do so. And thank you again to Michelle for joining in. And Kristen or Ren or Kyle, if you guys have any closing thoughts you want to add in, I'll pass it over to Kristen next. Kristen, go ahead when you're ready.
Yeah, I just want to like add a little third that Michelle is someone that I've actually worked with her in her one-on-one sessions and have gained so much healing in the ability to be able to speak and use my voice and have that deeper connection. So just a third, like definitely if you guys are vibing with Michelle to connect with her. And just wanted to send my ultimate gratitude to the space and to everyone that has spoken and shared their wisdom, and even just being on the receiving end as well. I've learned so much, and I just really cherish these opportunities to connect with you all and to share our heart wisdom. And
grow in love. So thank you all, and sending my love to all of you.
Thank you. Thank you, Kristen. And Ren or Kyle, if either of you want to be able to share any closing thoughts of gratitude, go ahead and just unmute yourself, and we'll pass it to whoever unmutes themselves first, if you guys feel called. And either way, no worries. And I'll, I think that's good. So, okay, I'll just add in some closing thoughts. And if you guys do change your mind, just blink your microphone and let me know. So, yeah, go ahead, Kyle. We'll pass it over to you right now then. Go for it, Kyle.
Yeah, I just wanted to say what like Michelle was just touching on, that Immortality Key book talks about exactly what she was talking about, how they're hiding the hidden history of basically going within. And basically the Vatican spearheaded the whole thing against witches, but basically people with botanical knowledge. I want to just say also thank you for holding the space and having us be able to speak about something as deep as death, and appreciate you having me here. Thank you.
Thank you, Kyle. Happy to be able to have you here. Kyle's one of our newer members in the community, so excited to be able to welcome you into your first circle. So, Ren, did you want to share anything? Even just closing thoughts, gratitude real quick, if you feel called, if you're able to. No worries either way. We'll give you a second if you'd like to. Go ahead, Ren.
Just thank you, everyone, for sharing your stories and for being here. I really liked listening to all of you, and... yeah, just grateful to be in this space, grateful to have conversations like this. So thank you all. Love you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ren. So just a few more closing thoughts that I was just going to share from my heart. Campton, if you wanted to jump on and even real quick, just add any closing thoughts of gratitude, you're more than welcome to it. I know you're listening right now. So if so, just jump up and we'll add you in. So, you know, just on closing thoughts, again, I invite all of us to take the opportunity to be able to meditate on death. And I think it's interesting because when we meditate on death, I invite you to meditate on those that have passed, because, you know, the only things that have died have been the things that have been alive. So when we meditate on death, we can see that as, you know, the yin and the yang. And it gives us the opportunity to be able to reflect on like the beauty of the lives of those before us. So when you think about who we are right now, I hate to say it, but a lot of people have died in order for you to be here. And so what do you do to honor that? What do you do to honor that story? And so I think, you know, even when I think about the passing of my good friends and Bill Paul and everything like that, one of the things that I often say to myself and to others is this idea that they live on through the love that we share. And so death is never truly the end. It's an opportunity to be able to reflect on how it is that we carry our relationships. And so, you know, it's interesting because like death is this word that we ascribe to things that we recognize as having importance. It's interesting because when you think about it, like we are surrounded by death every single moment. Like if the cells in our body, do they die? Like I guess so, right? Like depending on how you define it. Yet we seem to use death more so for like the relevance of something that has like more consciousness to it, more value to it, more of a story to it. So with this in mind, you know, it's interesting because I invite all of us to be able to, you know, really just like bring home that awareness into our heart that when the time comes for us to be able to move beyond this realm, what will you bring with you? What do you carry with you? And it won't be your car. It won't be your Instagram profile. It won't be the money in your bank account. It will be what's in your heart. It will be the experiences. It will be the memories. It will be the connections. It will be the relationships. These are the true wealth. These are the true gold that we cultivate here within this lifetime. So, you know, the topic of death at the end of it, it's like, oh man, like it's sad. It rightfully sad. It's okay to acknowledge that it's sad because that reflects the fact that we care. But at the same time, you know, talking about death, honestly, by the time I'm done this conversation, I hope the discussion of death actually ignites the beauty of life. And you think about the fact of how the seasons work, you know, we go through fall and we have this beauty of fall, the way the colors change. It's like, oh my God, the trees are dying, but they're so freaking beautiful, right? Like what's up with that? And yet here we go into the long night of winter. And within this process of death, again, you know, it's knowing that spring is coming. And so how do we use this opportunity to be able to reflect? How do we use this opportunity to be able to go inside, to be able to use the shadow? And so death is a deeper relationship with the shadow, and the shadow is who we are. The realm of the shadow is, you know, a space that the seed grows from, and it is a place that consciousness is also transformed through. So again, I just invite everybody here to be able to continue to have these discussions on death and what is death in a way that feels right for them. And I think the more that we talk about this as a community, the more that people will be able to just begin to destigmatize it. And I think that's a very, very powerful thing. And we won't even fully know the significance of it until perhaps further down the road. But yeah, I appreciate everybody again being here for this conversation. Death is a teacher. Death is a lesson. Death is an opportunity for us to be able to see more of ourselves. It is the great mirror of reflection. So with that said, we will wrap up this Paradigm Shift Circle discussion. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining in. My name is Brendan, aka Mystic Spider-Man, on Instagram, Skull Babylon on YouTube. If you guys enjoyed this discussion, you are welcome to join us again for future Paradigm Shift Circles live Wednesdays at 4 p.m. EDT, broadcasted on YouTube. And also, you can participate on air by joining our Discord. So if you haven't joined our Discord yet, you'll find the link for that in the info for this video on YouTube. You can also go right to paradigmshiftcentral.com, and I encourage you guys to go there nonetheless. Bookmark paradigmshiftcentral.com. Check it daily to be able to see new events happening within the community, and you'll also get the updates there through the Discord. And if you'd like to be able to support and also be involved as a member, you can check out the Patreon membership. And with that, it's $11 monthly contribution to be able to get additional access within our community, join private events, have your events featured, and also additional conscious media creation coach support from myself as well. So plenty more Paradigm Shift Circle discussions to check out. If you enjoyed this one, check out the recordings of past one. The link for that's in the info for this video. And again, Paradigm Shift Radio on Spotify. And please feel free to tell your friends. And we look forward to being able to have you back here once again for some more heart-expanding, mind-opening discussions. And even just as we wrap this up, I'm like, oh, there's still so much more to talk about. So I'm gonna go talk about this conversation with Lacey. And I invite you to be able to continue this conversation with those who you know. And thank you again, everyone, each and every single one of you, for being here. Greatly appreciate your time and presence. And with that said, we will wrap it up. Kristen, feel free to join me in saying farewell to everybody who's joining us once again. Kristen's the only one left on stage right now, so we're waving at the camera. Bye, everybody. We love you guys. We love you. Connect with all the people. Join their Instagrams and stuff. We love you guys. We love you. All right. Thanks again, everyone. Much love. Keep it shifty.